And welcome back to the open line portion now of Coast to Coast AM. With so much going on, we're just going to open up the phone lines and take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to open lines here of Coast to Coast. Let's go right to the phones and get things rolling. Let's pick it up with Mike in North Carolina to start east of the Rockies. Hello, Mike. Take it away.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Hi there.
One of the scariest moments was the moment I realized this morning I woke up.
What happened?
It's the moment this morning I realized I woke up. That's scary.
That was scary for you? No, that's a gift.
Yeah, I like the guy. He says, you want to talk about something? I said, yeah, scary moments. He said, you got one? I said, yeah, he said, I don't know. This actually happened to a lady I was talking about. I'm a truck driver, of course, an ordained minister, and I had my Bible out. We were talking, and she was saying, you know, something happened to me years ago that I've never gotten over. I said, what is it? She said, a friend of hers, kind of odd, always became odd a couple of years ago before she, you know, we were talking, just kind of changed. So really, she said, yeah, she complained about itching all over, you know, and she'd look at it looked like scratches all over her abdomen and back area. She said, it itches, it just comes and goes. And she said, okay. You seen a doctor? No. And then her friend invited her to her home. They had just remodeled the home. And she said she walked in and got the weirdest feeling, just a feeling of something's not right.
Yeah.
Anyway, she kept talking to the lady, and she says, well, I want to show you something we found in the bedroom. You know, we found it remodeling, and the lady I'm talking to says, well, what is it? She says, well, I've been told I can't tell you, but I need to show it to you. So she followed her into the bedroom, and immediately it was fear walking into the bedroom. And she noticed the lady ahead of her, her friend, walked up, turned around, and backed against the wall. And she immediately felt the presence behind her. And she tried to open her mouth, and she said she heard this laughter that just absolutely chilled her to the bone. She realized what was going on. She hit her knees. And she said for the longest time she prayed because God wouldn't show her the entity behind her, but he let her feel it and he let her hear it. Finally, she said after about 30, 40, however long it was, she got this thing to leave. And she said it was the only thing between her and her friend. She knew she was keeping this demon from her friend.
Yeah.
Well, I got to thinking about it. I said, oh, no. And the next week I went in there, I said, I want to tell you something. She said, what's that? I said, do you realize you were set up? She said, what? I said, that wasn't you fighting off this demon. You were set up. This woman and that thing wanted you. This woman's already been affected.
Yep, and she thought the woman was her friend.
Walked into the bedroom, booby-trapped her, set her up for a trap. The prayers you said, lady, unbeknownst to you, were for you, not that other woman. She said, you know, you're right. I said, beware of your friend.
That's right.
To me, that is the scariest thing. Not the fact that the demon was there, the fact that the demon could coax this woman into trapping another person. That's the scariest part, George.
And do you know, Mike, if she's still friends with this lady?
I asked her, and I said, no. I asked the lady, she said, no, after that, she was so angry, she couldn't figure out until just that moment why she was angry. She never really talked to her anymore, and she sure as heck wouldn't be alone with her. And she said, the woman's still alive, but she's always got problems physical. I said, there you go. This lady is possessed, and until she turns her life around, she'll die whenever that is, and she'll die with problems.
That's right.
So, to me, that's scary. The scariest thing. Not the fact that it can happen, the fact that other people can set you up to let it happen to you.
And you always wonder, just what do they want? Do they want to possess her? Was that the plan? Maybe. Let's go to Ross in San Diego, California. Hi, Ross. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George. God, it's really great. Your guest tonight, really, you know, I had called a while back about my dad. He worked at Lockheed Aircraft and worked at Skunk Works, UFO stuff. You know, he told me stories from the pilots. But tonight, I remembered when I was in the 60s, I was a teenager. And my cousin we lived in Sierra Madre, California, which is up by Pasadena, California. My dad worked at Lockheed, and my cousin worked at JPL. And when I went to my cousin's funeral, it was probably about 10 years ago, one of the things they said was, yeah, Bruce and a colleague invented the, the GPS.
Huh.
I was like, oh, wow. And then I remembered, sitting around in my parents' house when Bruce had come over, my cousin and my dad worked at Lockheed and Skunk Works, and they talk about stuff. And I was just, my mouth was open. I mean, I just listened to them. I didn't know really what they were saying. And, it was just all interesting. And they were talking about all this great stuff. And now, I just heard yesterday, Trump said he wants to put more money into, the space program. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, it wasn't just Tang. Remember Tang?
I remember that. That's right.
It wasn't just Tang that they got. They got GPS. My cousin was a part of that invention,
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, it's just... the space stuff and all this stuff, and my dad at Lockheed, and I don't have anything to do with any of this stuff. My dad being in airplanes, and he was chief project coordinator at Lockheed, and my cousin at JPL. I never went in any of those directions, but I've been listening to Coast to Coast since Art Bell first started, and the reason why is because I grew up with all this stuff.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so many
I really
people
appreciate
did.
I really appreciate you, George. This is a great show, and I wake up at midnight and I turn it on. And, in San Diego down here at 2 o'clock in the morning, if I wake up at 2, you repeat.
That's right. They play. It's like I'm on forever down there.
You're on forever.
Togo.
And when I go to bed early, but I wake up at 2 and I go, oh, good. I could hear that. I love your news at the top of the hour. I get to hear the whole week, the day. I love the way you do the news, man. You're so great.
Hey, what's the mood of the San Diego Chargers moving to L.A.?
Oh, man, that was bad. When that first happened, that first day, people were so depressed. Everybody was really upset.
I'm in St. Louis right now, Ross. Same thing. When the Rams moved out of St. Louis, it was like it's over. But you know what? They adapted. They've got the hockey team, the St. Louis Blues, who are doing great.
That's right.
A lot of people migrated to them, and, it was one of those, who cares?
Yeah, a couple months and everybody kind of adjusts. But, the San Diego fans were really interesting fans down here, a lot different than any other.
Well, they were loyal, weren't they?
Yeah, they were really loyal, and, they were pretty low-key, I mean, San Diego's a pretty mellow place, and they were really, really loyal. It's just like, back in the day when the Padres, we used to go down to see the Padres all the time back when they won the pennant and stuff with Caminiti and Tony Gwynn, Gwynn was still playing, and then,
classic
when Tony Gwynn left, he went to San Diego State and he taught baseball there, and his kid, went to San Diego State. It was really great. But the Padres, same thing happened to me. It was different though. What happened was when after they won the pennant, and the World Series and stuff, this is back in whatever, I can't remember how long ago, it's been a while. They all took contracts with, they all got bought off and went to other teams. And it broke my heart because I had followed them for 3 or 4 years,
Oh, that's right.
And then they just all got big deals. And the only one that didn't leave was Tony Gwynn. He was like the only one that was loyal. I'm staying. And he stayed. But the rest of them, they win the World Series and then they could go. And that just ended it for me.
All about the money.
It was all about the money, and I said, wait a minute, where's my team? And I never went back to another game after that.
That's not
I never did.
All right. Thanks, Ross. You be well.
All right. Thanks, George.
Okay, my friend. Let's go to Vancouver, Washington. Daniel's with us. Hey, Daniel, we're going to see you at our show on July 29th.
I had a question about plasma containment, but I think David is off for the
David
night.
Is gone, and the boy asking me that.
Send him an email.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, you got that right. The David Adair is gone. He spent 3 hours with us, though. Great guy. Barbara in Los Angeles. Hello, Barbara. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, I was thinking about this North Korea thing, and I think they're still mad that the Korean War was an officially concluded. And I think if it were officially concluded with the proper people directing it, I don't think this guy would be shooting missiles in all directions. And I just think, well, I'm a peacenik myself, and I don't think saber-rattling is very constructive.
No, you're right, Barbara. It's not constructive at all, and I would wish some generals will temper this guy and do something. Right now, though, most of them are just scared of him. I mean, you fall asleep in one of his meetings, you're not going to wake up. He'll have you killed. Look what he did to his half-brother, because we're convinced the half-brother was probably talking to China and some other groups about coming to take over that presidency of the, you know, to run North Korea. Yeah, something's got to be done there. We take your texts and your tweets during open lines, of course. Tom's back there in the L.A. studio. What do you have for us, Tom?
Let's check in with Khadijah in Kentucky. It's a text, and she says,
I like that name,
Khadijah. She says, I'm wondering if you have a favorite gadget or invention that you like and use.
A favorite gadget or invention that I like or use.
This is a great question for you, because you're a gadget guy.
I like, let's talk about kitchen stuff first of all. I have a little food processor. It's a tiny one that has a little blade on it, and it spins. And I like that. It's really small and portable, and it's really cool. You can, chop up stuff like that and, celeries and parsley for your salads. It's really neat. It kind of pulverizes things.
I remember when you came into work, you touted that you bought that.
Yeah.
That was my guess that you were going to talk about that.
I like stuff like that.
That's funny.
And, there's some other stuff. I've got a buddy of mine sells flashlights and stuff like that. And he he brought me a whole bunch of little lights.
You bought like 20 of them.
For your keychain.
You bought like 20 of them. You were giving them out to everybody,
yeah,
remember?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really cool because, you can use it as a little flashlight on your keychain. I like those little things.
Well, what's funny about you is we'll come in every once in a while and we'll get to work and there'll be like a box in your office and you'll go, look what I ordered.
Look at all these things. I love boxes.
Funny.
All right, thanks, Tom.
Okay.
Let's go to Cornelius. Hey, Cornelius in Louisiana. How are you, Corny?
Hey, George, Tommy, and all the crew and everything. George, I've just been seeing this stuff and, with the guy in California, the guy in Cleveland.
Oh, sick people.
And the guy in Florida, too. John Cheater, remember when he said he predicted a race war and stuff like this?
Yeah, and a civil war.
Or a civil war, but I don't know how you feel, George. You've been saying you've been feeling like something is just breaking. I was just telling Tommy, like years ago, I had an incident where a guy pulled a shotgun on me to kidnap this young lady and her two nieces. And I wanted to grab that shotgun so bad, George, but I said, if I grab that gun, he's going to blow my head off.
Yeah.
Eventually, the story turned out all right, but I'll tell you a bad thing. She married the guy and ended up divorcing him, so I guess she got what she wanted. But
she married the guy who pulled out the shotgun?
Yes, and so, but I'm glad I didn't marry.
Well, maybe it was a shotgun wedding.
A real shotgun wedding.
Yeah, literally.
George, we all need to pray for each other and stuff, and don't go to dark places, please. And like I tell everybody, get your God, guns, and gold, and Bible bullets and beans, and just get ready there, Mr. Jordan Ory.
All right, sir. Jim in Delaware, welcome to the program. Hi, Jim.
Hey, George. You remember how the Bible talks about hell,
yep,
lake of fire? Well, Jesus mentioned the outer darkness where there's crying and gnashing of teeth. So I said, Lord, I mean, what's hell then? If that's outer darkness, that ain't the lake of fire, and the lake of fire, it ain't hell. Because Revelation talks about Satan, hell, and death being cast into the lake of fire. Well, anyway, I kept asking the Lord, what is the outer darkness? And on Friday, March 31st, 2006, I got my answer.
What'd you get?
I experienced the the feeling of being in the outer darkness. I could see wherever I was, but the feeling with the loss and the despair was like as deep as the bottomless pit. So I looked up and said, Lord, is this forever? And the only answer I got was a child crying from my innermost being like he was afraid of the dark. I said, good enough. I don't need to know anymore, you know?
That's enough to scare your living daylights out of you, to be sure. Buck is with us in West Virginia. Hello, Buckingham.
Hey, how's it going, George?
Good. Haven't heard from you in a while. What's new?
Oh, I know. Everything okay out there on the West Coast?
Well, and I'm in St. Louis right now, but everything's super. I'm here for my granddaughter's college graduation in a couple weeks. Looking forward to
that. Fantastic. Fantastic. Tell her I said congratulations. Welcome to the world.
I told her that I announced it to the world already, and she said, Papa, you didn't. I said, yes, I did.
Oh, that's terrific. That is terrific. Hey, George, I've got sort of an odd question and an idea. And here's the question. Of all the fascinating places in the world that there are, is there one, or which one would it be that you've not visited that you would like to go to?
I would love to go to, like, Paris or London. I've not been to those two cities, but I'd get a kick out of going to those.
Well, the reason I said it, I think it would be a great idea, George, and that is be one of these, host one of these trips. I'm telling you, it'd sell out in a minute, you know?
Oh, yeah, it would. If I could do the radio show from the ship, which is possible, I'd consider doing that.
Oh, George, that would be awesome. I'd sign up in a heartbeat.
A cruise.
I would. That would be awesome.
That would be an interesting take. I wonder if we could tie it into some kind of space event or something.
I think it's a wonderful idea. Get Tommy on that. And like I said, I'll be the first to sign up.
All right, Buck. Good idea.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right. He's a great guy. And he by the way, he's on one of our promos for Coast Insiders. When we were looking for Coast Insiders, he was one of the first to respond, and we got him on, and you hear him every once in a while talking about his Coast Insider membership, which is pretty darn cool. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. Our dear friend Dr. Morgus will join us for a little bit. We'll take more of your calls as we have open lines tonight for the rest of the week. We've got some great shows for you, and don't forget, I'm going to be in Toronto Friday and Saturday at the Total Health Expo up there. Full details at coasttocoastam.com. So if you want to come up to Toronto, which is just a wonderful city, come on up and we'll have just a wonderful time. I'm hosting a panel there with some experts and then a meet and greet, which is a necessity. I always tell the people who put these events on, I want to meet the people who are there. So we're looking forward to that. We'll be back with more on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines. George Norrie with you, and this, of course, is Coast to Coast AM. Let us go east of the Rockies for Dan in Virginia. Hello, Dan. Good morning.
Hey, buddy. This is Dan, the blind man of the angels.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I want to tell you something, first of all, in regards to what I'm going to mention about overcoming something scary. The Coast to Coast people, including Tommy and Gina, and your guests, and of course you, have actually helped me overcome what I call the sneaky scary. Ooh. And I call it that because instead of it being an event, it is something which stays in the background. And what it deals with is the fear that one's most prized endeavors in regards to being good for humanity are not going to allow to come together because there will always be things which will interfere, you see? So it's like the fear that the outreach and the opportunities will never congeal. And that is the... Now, I'm going to mention this to you, George. This has happened probably 100 wonderful times in this... counters the sneaky scary. I got woken up once again, and it was the angel said, turn on Coast to Coast, and then it was, you're supposed to call in, and there's also a special surprise guest that you're supposed to know about, and I felt of an elderly man, you see?
Uh-huh.
Well, it turns out it's Dr. Morgus, and I had been telling people, I said, where is Dr. Morgus?
That's amazing.
Yeah, and like, for example, when Judith Orloff was on, I was asleep, and the angel come woke me up and said, there's a wonderful woman that you've been wondering about and everything, and she's an empath too, and you are to turn in immediately. And there was Judith.
We've got an angel, Dan, who must like Coast to Coast. I love that. Tom, you've got another text or tweet for us back there?
We do. It's a text from Sam in Memphis, Tennessee. George, in my opinion, we the U.S. are standing up for ourselves for the first time in a long time. In your opinion, George, why is this a bad thing, like I hear certain commentators saying?
Well, it all depends on what we're standing up for, quite frankly. There's one thing of defending our nation and taking care of dictators and people who oppress other people. We need to be very careful with how we handle these relations with these countries indeed. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all, but we need to be really careful. I don't know the significance of the 59 Tomahawk missiles we launched into Syria a few weeks ago. To me, that's $100 million, and it didn't do much at all. And in terms of sending a message,
that's what they're saying it is.
I'm not sure what kind of a message it's sent. One would have done the same thing if you want to show somebody what a missile like that can do. So I think we just need to be careful, and we need to think these things out seriously before something happens. And North Korea, my prediction, is going to be a huge, huge problem. Talked about that well over a year ago, and it's it's raising its ugly head, and that's very sad.
What does your gut say, though? Are we going to weather it, though, or are they going to be a big, big problem to where it turns into something? It's a tough call, huh?
I think something's going to happen.
You do?
I just feel it. I think, unfortunately, for everybody who... remember Howard Beale from the movie Network, one of my favorite movies, where he just says, I'm as mad as hell, which, by the way, is the name of one of my books coming out in June. He doesn't want to take it anymore, and he just wants to be left alone. He wants his telly and his toaster and his radio tires. Leave me alone. And I think that's what a lot of people are doing. Anyways, thanks for that, Tom. Our dear friend Morgus the Magnificent, a professor where everything he touched, and he was one of the brightest, still is, people out there, lives in New Orleans, everything he touches, something goes wrong. Well, some time ago, he had an opportunity to visit us in the Los Angeles studios and surprised me. And it's a clip I use every once in a while. And in tribute to our friend Dr. Morgus, here he is.
Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi.
What door? That door there?
Hello.
Hello. Hello, George.
Morgus.
George Morgus in New Orleans.
How are you?
Oh, George, am I glad to get to you.
Our
telephones were all down through the hurricane, and of course we've got it all fixed up now, and I'm really, really moving along with this lab now, George.
Oh, so thank God. We talked to you briefly after Katrina, but your phone went out, and we didn't know what happened to you. So you're okay, and your family's okay?
Oh, George, listen, everybody, Chopsley's right here, Dr. Chopsley's here, and Eric, everybody's in good shape here. You know, George, we did evacuate over there, because I'll tell you why. The city, had a mandatory evacuation, but there's no way I would ever leave this lab, George. You know what's in here.
What is there?
Oh, you know, George, come on, some secret stuff we talked about. And granted, everybody... would like to get in here. This is why we've got to stay here and protect it. I tell you, no, and besides, I'm probably the only building in New Orleans that had electricity and utilities 24/7, you know.
Well, I'm glad they're rebuilding. I'm glad you're rebuilding. And now you were in the City Ice House, right?
Yeah.
What happened to that?
Which one, George? What was that?
Weren't you in the Ice House?
Well, absolutely. You know, this has been here about 200 years. It was an old tanning factory. Used alligator skins and muskrats, you know, but back in the late 1800s, it became one of the first ice houses in the South, and of course we got a hold of it in the 50s here. Back, well, you were in Detroit at that time.
Yes. And then, watching you on television.
That's right, sir. Listen, this was fantastic. Imagine us about 50 getting together. But, George, listen, I've got something. I'm so why I called you is, you don't know it, but I need that audience of yours to know what we're doing here in New Orleans. George, I've come up with something. You know, I've been working with, you know, all kind of microbiology. I've been working with all of the molecular designs for new inventions. And now I've got something, George, that's just going to break your heart. We have, right here in the lab, George, I was working with subatomic particles, and get this, George.
What did you uncover?
Uncover? Listen, I have moved solid molecules across this building. George, I have moved myself with solid molecules through this machine. Chopley, get away from the machine. I have moved myself out of this room where I am now into a room down the hallway. Electronically, George.
You teleport.
I just wanted your people there to know that I could do this. Chopsy, get away from not yet. Boy, all right, Chopsy. Let's do it for George here. Don't press that button. Press the other button. Press it. Go ahead. That's it.
What's going on?
I'll tell you what's going on. I'm in your studio, George.
I'm in your studio now, George.
The real Morgus is here. Get over here.
How did you
do that?
I tell you, George, this has been a thrill.
You guys were in on this.
The whole bunch were in on this, George. Let me tell you, you had Tom, you had Steve, you had Lisa, you had Craig, the kitchen, you had Trevor, Oliver, and the whole gang in this building. They love you, George.
This is incredible.
They brought me here in a company jet.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. Private jet all the way here, George.
They've never flown me in the company jet.
They haven't shown you the company jet, have they?
No, not at all.
Well, you don't want to, George. They stopped in Tijuana with me. I mean, it was wonderful. But they did it all for you, George. You know why? Because they knew you were going to be leaving for Christmas, yes. And they wanted to give you a little Christmas early and a surprise they thought you might appreciate. Have your old friend from Detroit come here
gift.
45 years later to see you again.
This is incredible.
You
talk about surprise. What are the odds of coming up with a surprise hotline?
These guys
I had
did it.
No idea.
These guys did it, you know what? And I tell you what, I was going to bring something here for them, but the transformation, of course, was just incredible. Just coming here like this, and of course, your audience knows that we just pulled a little trick on you here, that I really didn't transport myself like that.
I've got to tell you, we have such heavy security, and to see you come bolting into the studio kind of shocked the heck out of me.
Well, George, have I changed?
Actually, you look younger.
I do? Oh, my gosh, no wonder. Well, that must be the new treatment I'm on. But, George, I tell you what, just being here and seeing the studio you guys work out of is really something incredible.
It's a little different than the ice house, isn't it?
Well, I tell you, that's for sure thing, and I'm sure the rent is a little higher, too. George.
What do you think?
Well, let me put it this way. If I could get everyone listening to this program to get on the same level I am on, and I know this sounds like braggadocio to some people, but, you know, take it as it will. But, friends, I can guarantee you, you can use the mind to do wonderful things. George, you more than anyone know the psychokinesis thing, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, guys, I tell you what, you know the astronaut Edgar Mitchell?
I know him real well.
You
He's
do?
Been on the program several
oh.
times.
Oh, really?
Dear friend.
Well, has he talked about this?
Yes, he has.
Well, I'll tell you that. You know,
wonderful guy.
You know that the mind has unbelievable potential. And I can tell you right now, you know, if you were smart, George, really smart, if you were up in my level, Now, I'm not putting you down. Well, I'm not putting it down, George, but listen to this. Now, what these people
not
hear
many
this.
People are up to your level.
Well, intellectually,
as much as we might try.
Well, intellectually, I've got to say that because I've got to let them know that there's a chance for everyone to get up there with me, friends. You see, when you're at my intellect, you cannot do violent things. When you go back the years, well, we're going back to the hominins. You know what a hominin is, you know?
Yeah.
We're talking about people that lived 18 million years ago. They were throwing rocks at each other. And what are they doing over here in France tonight?
They're still throwing rocks.
George, an intelligent person like myself wouldn't do that. If a mugger came up to me right now and said, fella, I'm going to give it to you in the face, you know what? He couldn't hurt me, George. He could not hurt me. You know why?
Why?
I have mind control, George. I can control his mind. I can stop him in his tracks. Now, George, you're going to witness this. You know I'm in your studio tonight.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to do it. Before we leave, I want you to come up to me and you try to take a punch at me.
I can't take a swing at you. And I know you want me to, and you think you can stop my arm in mid-motion, but...
Well, I could do it, George. You know, it's you have to put yourself in what we call a precognition mode. What we're doing is we're going into abilities, just like you have telepathy or we have clairvoyance. I have mind control. And once you put this precognition state into your body, which I can do just like snapping a finger, it's amazing what happens, George, with the mind being able to control. It's like putting waves through the air. You won't feel it until you try to hit me. And then you stop. You can't do it. I'm walking up to you right now. Now, look, don't get frightened now. You're my buddy. Nothing's going to happen to me.
Okay.
Nothing's going to happen to me. All right.
I would kick myself for the rest of my life.
I want you to give me the best you've got, George. Okay? Swing back. You ready? One, two. But put it right here against the cheek. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hit it. Go ahead.
You ready?
Ready. Go ahead.
Oh, gosh.
Well, George... Oh, well, that sheet, I didn't hurt at all.
Oh, my God.
Hand me the handkerchief. You have a handkerchief? Oh, God, this is embarrassing.
You assured me.
Yeah, what? Well.
This would work.
You know, George, I'm in a different atmosphere around here. This place, you know, you've got black walls, and you've got kind of Craig lights. I mean, why do you have it so moody in here?
I feel so rotten.
Oh, gosh.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. I think my tooth, I only have four teeth, George. I think you loosened one of them.
Well, why did you?
Don't worry about it, George. We're still friends forever. Don't worry about it. I'll fix it, George. Boy. Well, anyway,
every experiment you do, something goes wrong.
George, I think it's the lighting in here. I honestly believe it is. This is embarrassing, and I know people will fall out of love for me. But I tell you, friends, it has a great deal to do.
I just want to make sure you're okay.
Oh, I'm perfectly fine, George. No, everything's fine.
Not that you have many teeth left anyway.
Everything's fine. No, all four of them are okay. But nonetheless, it's such a surprise to you know, have the opportunity to try something in front of the whole world here and have a little discrepancy take place.
Millions of listeners.
Oh, listen, I
don't hold it against you. Maybe more than your TV show.
Well, I would not hold this against you, George, and I hope people that heard this will just... In fact, you know what? I can make them forget it, George. I have the
power. No more experiments.
No, but I don't want them to remember this tomorrow.
No, they may forget everything, and we don't want that to happen.
May permeate the whole show.
That could be. Morgus, one of a kind. For Nathan Staten, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.